Thank you, Lorja, for inviting me to give this talk. And today I'm gonna talk about like this fermionic Gaussian circuit for tensor network. And specifically, we look at the Anderson single impurity model. And yeah, these are my collaborators and Jed is my PhD advisor. So this paper currently is in archive now and you can access. Okay. So to begin with, I want to briefly introduce like the tensor network representation for many body states in case somebody are not familiar with it. So in general, given an arbitrary quantum many body state, a pure state of n qubit, we can try to decompose this many body state by bipartition according to the physical indices. And using singular value decomposition, we can end up with this new representation of the state as a product of matrices. This is called the matrix product state in the tensor network language. And in this process, we try to compress this huge tensor with exponential coefficients into a network of small tensors. Here, the network is a simple chain. And the most important quantity here is the bound dimension, which connects between small tensors. And the bound dimension is controlled by the entanglement entropy in the state, or more specifically controlled by the entanglement entropy and entanglement spectrum cutoff. And generally it scales as like exponential of this entanglement. So this representation make the density matrix randomization group very powerful for 1D system with area law and local correlations. And however, there are many systems with a long range correlation. For example, for 1D gapless systems, if we just take a simple hopping chain and give it a finite filling, then it is actually a critical system corresponding to conformal field theory with some central charge. And it will give us a log system size entanglement entropy. And also if for systems in higher dimension, even though the state can have volume law entanglement, area law entanglement, the boundaries still scale with system size. And for gapless systems with topological order, this topological order will also create long range correlations. And here's, if we consider a specific gapless situation where we have a 1D single impurity model, for example, here we have an impurity in the left and the impurity have Coulomb repulsion and hybridized with the first electron site and the electron hop in this 1D chain. This is a gapless system, and there will be large entanglement just from the conduction electron. For example, in the right-hand side, we can see from the upper panel for the orange curve, there are large entanglement just from the conduction electron. And the blue or green curve are entanglement from with the impurity. So in order to get the impurity entanglement, we have to subtract and work first with this high entanglement area. So we want to offset this matrix product state entanglement by some kind of a proper single particle transformation based on the conduction electron or based on certain fermionic Gaussian state. And also in the process, we also want to maintain locality with local unitary gates so that we don't jump to the momentum basis, which will give us which will introduce long range correlation. So what are fermionic Gaussian states? So they are many body states that can be fully characterized by the correlation matrix, and the high order correlations can be obtained by weak theorem. And you can consider these states as a single Slater determinant with orbitals from certain quadratic Hamiltonian. And the most important property here is that the eigenvalues of these matrix are either zero or one. So this actually give us a huge degeneracy for the eigenstates and for the eigenvalues. And these this degeneracy gives us a degree of freedom to constrain the locality constraint to the system. And in general, fermionic Gaussian state can have volume law entanglement and can live beyond 1D space. So next, I will introduce what is this fermionic Gaussian circuit, and how do we obtain this circuit, and how to use it. So given a fermionic Gaussian state and its correlation matrix, for example, here the state is taken to be the ground state of some quadratic Hamiltonian. And we can obtain this fermionic Gaussian circuit from this correlation matrix, which I will talk more in detail. And initially, the fermionic Gaussian state will have a large bound dimension. And once we apply these fermionic Gaussian circuits, the fermionic Gaussian state should compress to be a product state with a bound dimension equal to 1. And so how to obtain these local unitary gates? So we take the four correlation matrix, and we can take sub-blocks of this correlation matrix. So it turns out that we only need a finite size of these sub-blocks to obtain some eigenvalues, to obtain the eigenvalues that's close enough to 0 or 1. And we can do some kind of a local rotation so that this eigenvalue move to the first side. And since this is also the eigenvalue of the whole correlation matrix, then it will make the rest of the row and the column element to be 0. So in this way, we can diagonize the first side of the correlation matrix with this certain local unitary gates, and we can proceed and to the next several blocks and try to identify the blocks, like the blocks and the eigenvalues. So iteratively, the whole correlation matrix can be diagonized. And in the below, I can like represent the correlation matrix as a many body operator with a huge tensor, but it's just to show that we can formulate everything in the many body space. So how do we specifically obtain this each one of these local unitary gates? So we take the first block, like block size of like 4 by 4, and we can do exact diagonalization. And there will be 4 eigenvalues. And we take the one that is closest to 0 or 1, and we take the corresponding eigenvector. So with this eigenvector, we can actually rotate the elements of the eigenvector. And in the end, after 3 rotations, we'll have this unity vector with only one non-zero element. And each one of the rotation can be written like as a two-body gates. And the combination of these gates will become our circuit. So in summary, we can iteratively diagonize the whole correlation matrix, and in the process, we obtain a bunch of local rotation gates, and the whole combination of these gates, we call this Gaussian matrix product circuits, as we normally use it to disentangle fermionic Gaussian states as the MPS, and the number of rotation are of order B times n, and the size of this block size depends on the physical system, and typically is the order of 10, and also controls the locality for our circuit. And here is a simple example of how the approach works. So if we just take a quadratic Hamiltonian, here is a simple hopping Hamiltonian, and we construct a ground state, let's say at half filling, and we can have the correlation matrix. And use the procedure I described above, we can obtain the Gaussian MPS circuit. And when we apply this circuit to the original correlation matrix, it will be approximately diagonized. However, if we apply it to the Hamiltonian will not be diagonized. And even it will become slightly more delocalized. So this is showing that we are not in the momentum space, and which is important for the locality. So we've shown that the method is very successful for like fermionic Gaussian state. But what about the circuits applying to interacting problem and for like not fermionic Gaussian state? So we specifically look at the impurity problem. So this is the figure I showed before, where we have the impurity in the left with Coulomb repulsion, local Coulomb repulsion, and the impurity locally hybridized with the first electron and the electron hop in this 1D chain. And we can take the non-interacting part of this Hamiltonian as our quadratic Hamiltonian and construct its ground state as our fermionic Gaussian state. So once we have that, we can build our fermionic Gaussian circuit. And so with this circuit, we first want to see that like this circuit can indeed disentangle the interacting ground state from the MRG. And then we'll show that we can also apply these circuits to the Hamiltonian and then run the MRG. It will actually help the DMRG works better. So as a showcase, we choose two interacting ground state from DMRG. So for the blue dashed curve and the red dashed curve, which corresponds to U equal to 1 and U equal to 10 to limit of the interacting problem. And from the right-hand side, we can see that in the original basis, the entanglement is very large, which is log of the system size. And once we apply the fermionic Gaussian circuits, the top network of unitary gates to this original MPS, we will obtain this low entangled MPS as shown as the solid curve in the right hand side. So deep in the bulk, we can see that the conduction electron sites are hugely disentangled. And we only have finite entanglement around the impurity, which is reasonable as we add interaction to the system. And if we look at the bond dimension, it's actually very interesting that there will be some length scale emerge. Well, in the disentangled basis or Gaussian MPS basis, if we look at the electron sites, far away from the impurity, we'll see the bond dimension goes to one, which means the site is completely decoupled from the cloud around the impurity. And also this length scale gets increased as we increase the Coulomb repulsion. So this actually corresponds to some Condo screening scale, which I'll talk more in the following slides.
Sorry, can I just understand this entanglement entropy? Maybe one more slide back. Are these in one dimension or is it just the MPS representations one dimension? Are the fermions, is it a one dimensional system? What's your index J?
Okay, so here index J, so we can like split the electrons into up spins and down spins. So we put the impurity in the middle. So physically the impurity is in the left and then each side we have a spin up and spin down. It's kind of like standard for impurity model. We put the impurity in the middle. There's upspin and downspin. We put a upspin in the left, downspin in the right. So J represent the side, like half of this system.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So actually, this technical detail is described in the paper. But after I developed the new gates, which can work efficiently for the electron. So we don't need this split site now.
So it's the entanglement of site J with site zero or whatever.
Is that
Or is it a region from like, so what's S of J? What's the definition of SJ on that Y?
So it's more like, okay, for example, so now let's say we have a system size of N. Including the impurity. Now we write it in terms of like a fermion operator, like fermion size, which is 2n. So we look at n plus j, so which is the j actually represents n plus j. So we cut the system into two parts. One is like n plus j sites, and the rest is like n plus j to the 2n.
So okay, so it's a bipartition. So there's only region A and region B.
Yes, this is actually a great question. We also have the entanglement entropy as a function of R, which is like the real physical distance, because we can do ABA partition. Right. And this is actually in the appendix of the paper.
Okay, I think I got it.
Yeah, this is just to correspond to the like bound dimension.
Right.
Great. So, so since we can successfully disentangle the interacting ground state, we can also apply the circuit, try to apply the circuit to the Hamiltonian and then run DMRG. So in this case, the DMRG will directly work in the low entangled many body manifold. And the final ground state should be the same as the disentangled state. And the advantage here, as we can see from the right, left-hand side, is that we gain a huge speed up of the DMRG sweeping time. For instance, the blue curve is like the DMRG run time in the original basis, and the orange curve is the run time in the new basis. And if we divide the original by the new basis, we can see there's a huge speed up, which also increase with system size. And here we try actually slightly trade slightly more complicated Hamiltonian for higher DMRG speed, and it turns out it will also give us a more accurate ground state given the same DMRG cutoff. And here the MPO bound dimension does not go in crazy. For system 512, it's just 28. So it's not a bad trade-off. So beyond the ground state, we can also try to suppress entanglement in dynamics with our fermionic Gaussian circuit. So we focus on a low-lying excited state, so which is this impurity quench the ground state. We apply a impurity annihilation operator to the ground state and try to time evolve this particular excited state. So in the original basis, we can see that the entanglement, there is a wave packet propagation of entanglement in this high entanglement regime. And once we disentangle the system in the Gaussian MPS braces, again, the entanglement gets like mostly decreased, and the propagation becomes cleaner in this new basis. And if we look at the time evolution of the maximum value of this entanglement over space, we'll see that in the long time limit, this entanglement does not increase with time, which is very different from the original basis, which is still increasing this long time limit. And also, it has better system size scaling. So if we run to the long time limit and compare the maximum value of the entanglement in the disentangled basis, this maximum value does not actually scale with system size. So this makes us very interesting in applying the gates to the circuits to the time to the dynamics. So beyond this computational advantage, we want to also highlight that the Gaussian MPS circuits also provide a set of physical meaningful orbitals for understanding the condo screening physics. So to begin with, I want to briefly overview like the conventional condo behavior or conventional impurity behavior. So from the numerical RG results, we know that in the small U and the small hybridization V limit, the system will initially at the free orbital fixed point, and it will flow first to the free local magnetic moment fixed point, where the spin degree of freedom of the magnetic impurity will be free. But this fixed point is unstable. And eventually the system will flow to the strong coupling fixed point, where the impurity is screened by the conduction electron and form spin singlet. And this RG trajectory can be seen also from the entanglement entropy structure of the impurity. So here, this in the left, the results are obtained from the numerical RG, where we take a bipartite, we also bipartite the system and take a cut in the take a cut of the system so that the impurity with the electron in one side and the rest of the electrons in the other side. So when the side is close to the impurity, the entanglement is close to log two, corresponds to the local moment fixed point. And when it's away from the impurity, then the electron around impurity will screen this impurity and we will see zero entanglement. And these different curves are for different effective Kondo coupling, which is basically different yield. And if we scale this numerical RG back to the real space and also rescale it by the analytical Kondo correlation lens, we can see different curve will collapse into one universal curve. And this corresponding to like a different trajectory, different part of the trajectory in the RG flow. And we can actually also see this Kondo physics from the Gaussian MPS circuits. So in the right hand side, we show the universal curve collapse in the direct entanglement in the Gaussian MPS basis, and as a comparison, we also show in the inset like the results from the original basis. So in the original real basis, to get to compute that, we need to do like the procedure I introduced in the very beginning. Run DMRG in this high entangled initial space, and then subtract the conduction electron contribution, and then we have this. But the whole process is not necessary in the Gaussian MPS basis. And in the process, the Kondo screening lens can be extracted by setting some cutoff of the entanglement. And with some linear extrapolation, we can plot the Kondo screening lens as a function of U, which matches very well with the analytical expression, but the coefficient, the constants are a bit different. So this actually, if we look at the Gaussian MPS orbitals, it gives us a bunch of wave packets that scale linearly with the system size. So these circuits will also provide us like physical meaningful orbitals. So
just a question on there. You're extracting the Kondo length on the left side plot. That linear fits pretty questionable, right? Are you?
Yes, yes. There's actually a strong finite size effect when. Yeah, that's actually a great.
What's
question.
The finite yes. size? This is only for one system size.
This is for system size of 400, if I remember. Yeah, only one system size.
400. It's already pretty big, right?
Yes. So if you look at the short length scale, you will notice that this impurity of log two. So there's. I think there are two problems. One problem is like when it's close to the impurity, because we have this very few electron sites that like this universal collapse does not look like very similar to the universal collapse from the numerical RG. Also in the tail, we will observe that we try to avoid that the spin spin correlator will drop down, which is like not physical, actually. So yeah, there's this problem.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for the great question. So beyond the Gaussian MPS circuit, we can also add more structure to the fermionic Gaussian circuit, like with entanglement renormalization. So we will introduce circuit with hierarchy, and we'll show that this circuit will give us interesting emergent interacting models. So previously, the fermionic Gaussian circuits are taken to be like this iterative circuit to diagonize each side of the correlation matrix. And so instead of doing that, we can actually only diagonize half of the sides in each layer and diagonize in multiple layers. For example, here we can diagonize even side of the correlation matrix in each layer and apply it to different layers until we run out of the system. And this is called a Gaussian mirror circuit, which have some connection to the multi-scale entanglement renormalization ansatz. However, this is still a single particle basis transformation, and we do not project out these sites. And so since we can do with the even side, we can also do with the odd sides. And this simple variation, we call it a boundary dream mirror. And both these two circuits will give us very interesting results in the MPS and the Hamiltonian. So if we apply the Gaussian mirror circuits to the interacting Hamiltonian and look at the mutual information structure in this new Gaussian mirror basis, we'll see that there's only finite mutual information among these specific sites, and the majority of the other sites like are completely disentangled from the system. And if we apply these circuits to the hopping Hamiltonian, like non-interacting part of the impurity problem, we can see that most part of the hopping Hamiltonian are diagonized, and the impurity will have this long-range hybridization to these specific sites. And thanks to the mutual information results, we can actually take these diagonized elements with zero mutual information as a free particle, and we take this specific site as our new interacting problem. So now the impurity problem can live on this very small space and with this direct hybridization. And this is called the star geometry in the impurity literature. And similarly for the boundary G-mirror, we can also transform the Hamiltonian, and we again have this mostly diagonized element. And however, the difference is that now the impurity only hybridizes with the nearest site, and the nearest site, the electron will live among this specific site more of hopping in a 1D chain. So the geometry here is shown in the left-hand side here, which is called the chain geometry of the impurity model, which is like the numerical RG with a Wilson chain. And we have the impurity in the left with the Coulomb repulsion and the hybridization to the first site, and the first site now hop to the fourth site, and so on and so forth. And the rest of the system can be also considered as a free particle. So to see how effective these emergent models are, we can compute the ground state energy. So for this, the ground state energy can be taken as like we can run DMRG in these emergent models for each interaction U, and also take the free particle contribution into account. For this 128 system, we just need a 22 and 14 system size to obtain like ground state energy with a relative error smaller than 10 to the negative 4 for a wide range of interaction. And beyond this ground state energy, we can also look at the dynamics. We can try to run the Green's function to obtain the Green's function both for the original system and also this emergent system. And we can see that these emergent models can also obtain like quite close dynamics for the short time limit. And however, since the emergent model have very small system size, for example, 19 here, and we need to take like the finite size effect into consideration when we use the small models. So in conclusion, we've shown that fermionic Gaussian circuits are capable of disentangling interacting problem based on fermionic Gaussian states. And we can also vary the geometry of these circuits and achieve entanglement realization, which will give us interesting emergent interacting problems. And there are some limitations for our circuits as we try over different systems. For example, when we consider the our random quantum state, we can actually never disentangle these states because a random state should be random regardless of the single particle basis. And also we found that in the multi-insulator phase of the 1D uniform Hubbard model, the entanglement does not get decreased. And we used a naive simple Hopping as our quadratic Hamiltonian, but we think a mean field fermionic Gaussian states might be a better candidate for such kind of situation. Yeah, and methodology are now like available from iTensor. There's this sub package of iTensor, and I can take some questions. And in the following, I will talk about another approach to the impurity problem.
Okay, yeah. So you got more, you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so let me ask now then. So if I look at the emergent models, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to know the bipartite entanglement entropy, are they area law or are they area law plus, you know, log corrections for the like typical in fermions?
Great questions.
You're basically using a MERA in the end, right?
Yeah.
So are they, you know how you have area law, you have volume law, and then typically if you have a Fermi surface, say you have some sort of log corrections to area laws. So what are the emergent models of?
So the short answer is we didn't look specifically into that. I can talk a bit more about the second emergent model, which is corresponds to the chain geometry. So this is very similar to the Wilson chain. So if we fix the Brock size into some constant, then the Hopping, the effective Hopping will actually also decay in a exponential fashion, which is very similar to the numerical RG Wilson chain. And in that case, then the entanglement entropy will behave like this one, but I guess we still need increase the system size to see how it scales with system size.
Right.
But still, yeah.
And then when you mentioned Haar random, so Haar random should be volume law entangled generally. And I guess what you're saying is you can't really transform that away easily.
Yes. I was ambitious. Yeah, I was ambitious, like try to disentangle some volume law state, but I choose the wrong state, the random state. And because the Haar random state are not fermionic, like too far away from fermionic Gaussian state. So, yeah. And okay.
Makes sense.
Okay, so let me proceed. So in the end, I want to briefly talk about another approach to the impurity problem, which is the numerical realization group, another project I did during my PhD. So in the numerical realization group language, the impurity model is usually written in the eigen basis of the conduction electron. And in this case, we only need the hybridization function that describe the hybridization between the bath to the impurity. And this hybridization function can also be understand as a local density of states, because there are two contributions from this. One is from the spectrum, the local density of states, the density of states, and the other one is like the overlap between these eigen states at the impurity side. So once we have this hybridization function, this continuous hybridization function, the numerical RG needs to do a logarithmic discretization on this around the Fermi energy. And during this discretization, we need to integrate, numerically integrate over these beams to get an average of this contribution. So in this step, we incorporate the kernel polynomial methods, try to expand the hybridization function with Chebyshev polynomials, and then this integration can be carried out very efficiently and pushed to millions of system size. And in the end, the numerical RG will map to a semi-infinite Wilson chain with coefficient epsilon and t obtained through the discretization process. And the hopping here will decrease in an exponential fashion so that the spectrum will converge. And to solve this many body problem, numerical RG normally use exact diagonalization and truncate at a certain space, at a certain limit, Hilbert space limit, as we add more site into the system. And the physical problem we are interested in, we were interested in, is the 1D quasi crystal. Like, we try to solve the impurity problem in this 1D quasi crystal, where we have simple hopping and the cosine potential, where the wave number in the cosine potential is an irrational number. So this makes this 1D model a quasi crystal, which is called Albert-NG model, and it has an Anderson localization transition. And we are interested in the transition point where it has a critical wave functions, a electron environment for quasi crystals. And at this critical point, if we use the uniform coupling to the spectrum, then we will have this fractal self-similar hybridization function, where as we zoom in into finer scale, we'll see similar smaller bands emerging at smaller scales. And it turns out that a numerical RG is a very good method for this particular problem. So if we choose a characteristic discretization, which covers exactly over the self-similar period, then we can map this system to a power law problem where we have divergent hybridization at the Fermi energy, where this power law is negative. And this power law, we relate to the fractal dimension of this fractal hybridization. So here, I briefly show the numerical RG results for this fractal spectrum. So we change for different curves, we change for different values of effective condo coupling. And we can see that the system will first flow to the local moment fixed point, which is this plateau here, for this magnetic susceptibility and thermal entropy. And then, however, this is unstable fixed point, and it will flow to some strong coupling fixed point. And this we call fractal strong coupling fixed point, as this fixed point will oscillate around some negative values of these thermal quantities. And these negative values depends on the power law as well. And in other words, depends on the fractal dimension, and the oscillations depends on the self-similarity structure of the spectrum. And this result match very well with the self-similarity of the Albert-NG spectrum with fractal dimension equal to 0.5, around 0.5. And in the end, the numerical RG have the problem with have this limitation of truncation error, where we try to apply the threshold of Hilbert space truncation in the diagonalization process. And hopefully in the future, we can combine the fermionic Gaussian circuits with the Wilson chain so that we have more powerful methods for the impurity problem. And that's the end of my talk. Thank you.
Thank you. So my anticlimactic clapping. Okay, I got another question for you. Mm-hmm. Just generally, so I was thinking in your last part here. So, you know, so Wilsonian, like, NRG works for the impurity problem. And really what you're doing is truncating the spectrum. You're just doing ED in some sense and truncating the energy spectrum, right?
Yes. So
when does that break down, and when do you need full DMRG? You know what I mean? How should I understand the difference there? So the energy works for the impurity models, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so away from that, you need the DMRG, which was like Steve White's observation, right?
Yes. Okay. So numerically, we can, if we take a symmetry into consideration, we can constrain the Hilbert space limit to 4 to the 7th, and which means if there are six sides of electron in the Wilson chain, then we can do exact ionization. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we need a DMRG, like, which also corresponding to lower temperature in the for the system.
But aren't they different in the sense that you're truncating either the eigenvalues of the reduced density matrix in one case versus the actual energy eigenvalue spectrum in the other case? Or am I wrong about that? In the energy?
Yeah. I think the final goal is like to obtain the certain like thermal quantity or dynamical quantity with a Wilson chain. I think with DMRG, we need to run like dynamics or some maths, like to get the thermal quantity from DMRG
instead of
just get the ground state.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually harder with DMRG.
Yes, but maybe it will be easier because this is very similar to the 1D impurity problem.
So, and then what would the strategy be? I guess I'm just getting it now. So you would do some
I think I'll try to, for example, we can take maybe 40 for Wilson chain of system size 40. We can just focus first construct the fermionic Gaussian states from this 40 Wilson chain, and we have the circuits, and then apply the circuits to the Hamiltonian, and then run either maths or dynamics to get a spectrum or get the thermal quantity for this 40 systems. But this actually if we take a very large lambda here, there's another parameter, logarithmic discretization lambda. So if the lambda is large, there's no problem. The model will converge very, very fast. But for small lambda, we will need DMRG because the truncation error will enter earlier in the Wilson chain.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like more like pushing the system to the continuum limit.
Got it. Any questions from the audience? I do want to ask about iTensor and just how much work it was putting all this in there, and how that, you know, how does that, yeah, okay, so this is the Gaussian. So how does this work? So this is your own package that you put in iTensor. How many, you know?
My major contribution is to add the mirror structure to the package. So this package is like originally written by Matt, and he has like this because the Gaussian. So you can see the title is Gaussian MPS, which is designed for the first part of the
talk. Right.
I can like implement the mirror structure so that we can apply the entanglement minimization. That's my main concern. And I think I'll add more because this package can only work with fermions. And I have code, but I need to commit this code so that people can also use it with electrons,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think it's necessary for users.
Mm-hmm. So you're ending, you know, you're finishing up your PhD. What do you see in your future? What do you want to work on going forward?
Yeah, I still want to like stay with strong linear rate system, but I also want to move more towards quantum computing and tensor network. Yeah, but I'm open to any interesting physical problems. And also method development also seems interesting for me.
Oh yeah, it's certainly very important. Like I say, I think these open source libraries like iTensor, they really open up a lot of physics for the whole community, right? So we're lucky we have support from, you know, Flatiron and CCQ on these packages.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's enough philosophical musing. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'm going to stop